What's up? This is Movies on Up. An enemy they can't see. A nation under siege. A crisis they can't control. I am Dave, joined by my co-host, who I also cannot control, Ryan.
That is how most people describe me, is completely without restraint.
Unpredictable, uncontrollable. We are Movies on Up. Tagline for this week, an enemy they can't see, a nation under siege, a crisis they can't control. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you are correct and we select you, you win the glorious Movies on Up prize package.
Yeah,
100% real Movies on Up prize package.
It's a limited edition.
Yeah, very, very limited. This week, The Purge purges its way into theaters again.
It's election year.
The third time in 4 years, we get The Purge election year. This franchise interests me just because where it began and where it's going now. I never saw the first one, but I know enough about it. Second one, it's watchable. It's different than I expected going in. Ryan hadn't seen it, so he thought, hell, election year coming out, let's watch Purge Anarchy.
It's getting me caught up. It's going to be current so I can go run out to the theater and see.
And The Purge is very much like Star Wars in a lot of ways, to where you could just skip the first one. Episode one, at least.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant like episode four. I was like, well,
no.
I guess.
Purge New Hope, definitely you have to watch it. But The Purge Phantom Menace. Skip it.
Definitely not. Really, I mean, if we're talking from a box office perspective, which I am, I don't know if you are yet, but people certainly saw the first one, and even more people saw the second one, or just the same amount of people saw it more, however that works. It did open number two in the box office on July 18th of 2014 with almost $30 million. It was at 29.8. Was behind Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Planes, Fire and Rescue, Sex Tape, Transformers, Age of Extinction. Round out your top five there. It went on to gross $72 million domestically, which was about $8 million more than the first one. So not a huge increase.
But the budget, without looking at it, you're talking $9, $10, $11 million.
You're talking exactly $9
million. $9 million. Yeah, there's no way. And I'd assume the first one was probably only five or six. Without looking it up,
because
generally the sequel is going to increase, but it's a no-brainer, because the first Purge came out, made decent money on a low budget.
Made about $64
million. Yeah, on...
maybe a $5, $6 million budget. Yeah, so of course you're going to make a sequel, so you come up with a second one that makes $72 million. Of course, there was going to be a third one, and before we figure out how much that one made, that $72 million mark was good for 977th place all time domestically on the box office. And Dave, I could give you approximately 1408 guesses and you wouldn't be able to guess the movie that is directly above it.
What's the number, the rank of it?
976.
That's John Cusack, Sammy Jackson, Stephen King movie.
Yes, you're right.
Room 1408.
And that was the clue, was not the 1408 guesses. It was the number of place all time, because Dave is locked in. And I think he might be able to go two for two. The movie directly below it was the Nick Cassavetes directed Denzel joint about shitty health insurance.
Oh, John Q.
Yes. Amongst other things, health insurance is just part of it. Both John Q and The Purge Anarchy have a little bit of a political statement to make. Healthcare, bad. Killing people,
kill, murder.
Right.
Yay.
If The Purge existed in John Q, like, well, that situation
right.
Yeah,
like,
would have just taken care of itself.
It's Tuesday again. The only thing surprising about getting a second Purge is that why it's taken 2 years to get the third one. We were doing this show when the first Purge came out, and it was just a home invasion movie, but it feels like a sci-fi movie. It feels...
Does it feel sci-fi? I mean, is there science fiction to it?
It's social science. It's
social sci-fi.
Yeah, it's a social science fiction. So, I mean, with sci-fi, you're creating a world, and you have to transport us into this world and make us believe that the reality in this world is believable, which is essentially what The Purge is trying to do. The first one really didn't have any interest. I mean, it's a home invasion movie with Lena Headey and Ethan Hawke, so... It almost felt like a waste, because it was this big picture idea confined in a house.
But that's what I love what he did with this one. Instead of just, because you had to make a sequel. It made so much
that's
money.
That's what I'm getting to, is that
the
first one felt like this big idea, just you're not giving it room to breathe. And we even said, I remember talking about it, it's like, this is something I'd be more interested in as they make more. Like, you don't have to tie the sequels together. You can make a sequel every year and just have it take place on the Purge. And I think the example I gave was couple's car breaks down on the way home.
Right.
Like, and that's exactly what happens in this one. There's more to it than that.
Certainly. I give the director, who actually he wrote and directed both of them, James DeMonaco, I give him a lot of credit for kind of realizing that, all right, I have to make a sequel, and I could just make another ho-hum home invasion movie, which was the first one. Or you could take what was really the star of the first movie, and that was the premise.
The Purge itself.
Right, exactly. And in theory, and we've talked about this before, you have however many millions of people in America, presumably the only country where this is legal. So you could have, you know, millions of stories that are told on Purge Night. Your example was couple's car breaks down, you're stuck outside, which I think is a really great.
That's an obvious one.
Right.
You could have a group of guys going out to Purge. They're terrible guys, but that's your main characters. And then somebody hunting down
purging the purgers.
So, right. I mean, there's a lot of ways.
This one, it just turned the first one on its ear. They're not stuck inside. They're stuck outside. But, I mean,
and there's way more to it than that. Right. That's what I like about it.
But even if you wanted to, like, broaden it from there, we've been so, and have been so focused on all crime is legal, including murder. Now, there are other crimes you could commit. I mean, what if you had a bank robbery set on Purge Night? Now, I know in this one, they specifically say there's a line about they take the money out of the bank, which kind of did nip that in the bud a little bit. But certainly you could have theft of any kind.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're trying to steal corporate secrets, or you're trying to steal a formula for something.
Exactly.
You could have anything like that and continue to make these sequels ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Just under the Purge
banner. You could have a crew of people that want to use the chaos to just rob for what they need and give themselves a year's supply of everything. And that's why I'm interested with where the second one went. Whereas the first one really felt confined, this really expanded the world. And I like that about it. It's not a great movie. I'll speak highly of it, but it's not a great movie. I would have a much better opinion of The Purge if this were the first one. Again, the first one was just, it was a great idea. You didn't really know what to do with it. This, he almost tries to do too much with it, but I like how it works out because there's a lot going on. And it's not just, hey, I want to kill these people. It's
right. You
have the father selling himself to a rich family to purge. You have the group hunting down Kylie Sanchez and her husband to take them to rich people to auction them off. You have Mr. Big or whatever his name is who just wants total chaos.
The government, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you introduce, obviously, the government has sanctioned this. Sanctioning is one thing, but actually
participating.
Right. Which you get to see in this. So there is that aspect of, like you mentioned, social science. This one, it actually kind of is making a little bit of a political statement in governmental procedures that are designed to keep poor people at a disadvantage.
It's population control.
Yeah, it's population control. And it's, they say a lot at the front of the movie, like, gosh, why are poor people purging? Because really, poor people should be against the purge. We're the ones that are getting killed. You know what I mean? It's rich people that are doing the purging because they can afford to make themselves safe. They can afford to buy the weapons, blah, blah, blah. And you don't see that a lot in these type of movies, really kind of making any kind of a statement. Now, obviously, I think in the third one, it gets kind of ratcheted up to 11 to we're getting preached at a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I want to build up to is you have the government death squads. You have the people that are basically bounty hunters just trying to get people to auction off. You have Frank Grillo, who is out on a mission, but he's not a bad guy, so he's helping people along the way, and that's why the death squads are hunting him, because the number one rule is don't save anybody, because the whole point is to keep everything under control. And then you have this whole other anti-political, All Lives Matter group, essentially, who's going around and killing the death squads.
You got Omar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is a whole different angle and not what I expected going into it.
Honestly, I skipped this one because I didn't particularly love The Purge. I thought it was interesting. I'm glad that it made money and people seem to enjoy it. I really didn't have a giant interest in seeing this one. I'm glad I did because it is different.
Way different.
I did enjoy it much more than the first one because there was more to it. I've seen umpteen home invasion movies, and in about a month or so, we're going to do our favorite home invasion movies. And
a month after that, our favorite Ethan Hawke movies.
Yeah, and I would guess that The Purge is probably not going to make either of those lists because it's done. It's kind of played out. But what was unique about The Purge is really center stage in this one, and they did add a lot more moving parts to it. And just the idea of being outside during all this mayhem, it sort of gave me like a Escape from New York kind of vibe because, you know, in the first one, they were just trying to make it to morning. So it felt like a giant stall tactic. On the other end, in Anarchy, you had, okay, one group is trying to make it to morning. Sarge he's racing against morning because he has
a goal.
Right. He has a murder that he wants to carry out for presumably good reason.
Drunk driver.
Yeah, it was drunk driver.
Or killed his son and got off on a light sentence due to a technicality.
Yeah, I was trying to remember if they ever do, or it's just implied,
it's
but I think
of,
he does.
Yeah, you get that his kid's killed by a drunk driver. The drunk driver's remorseful but doesn't really do much time because of a technicality, so he wants to make it right.
There again, you know, we're focusing on murder. There's many different reasons to want to commit a murder. Revenge is an interesting way to go with it as opposed to just sport, which was really kind of the first one. And then, like you said, you add in kind of the governmental factors. You've got the evil empire and the rebels fighting amongst each other during Purge Night.
And that's where the third one comes in, is that it's election year. The lady running for president, her ticket is do away with the Purge. So her whole campaign is written on eliminating the Purge. So obviously she's a target on the Purge. And Sarge, from this one, now refound himself, is Secret Service or bodyguard or something and trying to protect her. So I like what DeMonico's doing because everything else be damned. Like, he's doing what he wants to do. We rattled off 3 or 4. We could get to Purge 6 or 7 with just 10 minutes of brainstorming. Like, with ideas, he's going somewhere completely different.
Honestly, I wish he was going, not just because it's our idea, quote unquote, but I wish that was more the direction he was going, where the stories didn't have anything to do with each other.
That's always been my complaint about the Final Destination movies. I've always wanted those to not be connected. It's death hunting down somebody. They don't have to be connected. Same with The Purge. I like the idea. I like what he's doing. Are you writing yourself into a hole to where, you know?
And I think he is. I mean, Halloween was supposed to be like that. Mm-hmm. It got to Halloween 3 where they did break from that. That movie was a disaster.
Yeah.
But Michael Myers became such an iconic character that they couldn't do a Halloween movie without him going forward. And The Purge doesn't necessarily have that iconic character yet, but I still think that he is painting himself into a corner now, especially bringing back Sarge. I don't know that Frank Grillo had to be in this movie.
No.
I think his character...
That was a great arc.
Yes.
His character was...
He was a well-developed character, which you rarely get in a movie like this. He started one place, ended in a different place. I think his story is told.
When I saw they were making a third one and I saw Frank Grillo was coming back, my immediate reaction was like, why? Nothing against him.
Right.
I liked him
in
the second one.
He was good in this, yeah.
But it's done. His story's over with. Give me another story. I don't mind the politician. If you want to go that angle,
absolutely,
that's fine. But I don't see the need for Sarge to be there. He wasn't an iconic enough character that I need. It's not Ash. You know, it's not like you're bringing Ash back.
It's not Snake Plissken.
Yeah.
To steal the Escape from New York. We don't need that. And what I was so encouraged from the second one, because it was such a break from the first one, the idea of the Purge carried over. All right, so if the second one and the third one, there's a break there in the idea of the Purge and maybe a government angle carries over, then it doesn't seem like it's a quote-unquote sequel. And that's what I was so in favor of in this one. And then it seems like they're, I don't want to say they're breaking their own rule.
No.
It's not a rule, but it feels like they're...
Here's where I don't understand where we're at. You're seeing it now on TV a lot where you're building a brand. American Horror Story, True Detective, Fargo. These are all anthology shows, essentially, to where one season is a story. The next season, it's still under the Fargo name, the True Detective name, but it's a different story. It's not necessarily connected. That's what I wanted from Final Destination. That's what I'd like to see from The Purge, because, you know what, Saw got 9 movies? 10 movies?
It got a ton.
I think this premise is better than Saw because you can do more with it.
Right.
With Saw, it's just how do you kill people?
Right. How do you kill people? Are you going to have just another copycat doing the same thing? Yeah, you're really painting yourself into a corner with Saw.
I like the idea of this being an anthology series to where you can just make these movies and we could end up with 6 or 7 of them. It doesn't matter what order you watch them in because they're all their own thing. The only consistency is The Purge, which that's what drives it. That's the whole idea. The first one was a waste because it didn't really capitalize on that idea. I like that the second one did. You can have elements from all of them.
Sure. Fan service nods and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I don't think you need a Purge trilogy. I'm done with Sarge. I don't need to see where Sarge goes from here. The political angle, I'm not against that.
Right.
But granted, we haven't seen the third one, obviously. So, I mean, I don't know where it goes from there, but are you trying to wrap it up? Or this is the kind of thing where in the middle of summer, we see it every year. You know, you throw out The Conjuring and it makes $40 million. You throw out Annabelle at the end. Like, there's that spot in the middle of summer in between blockbusters to where you can throw something. And if you hit the right chords, you turn a $6 million movie into a $64 million movie. You turn a $9 million movie into a $72 million movie. You could keep doing that. How much bigger of a budget does he need than this 9 to 11 million? You can keep making these.
I think that would be the sweet spot. And you would almost, I don't want to say you'll guarantee yourself $70 million every time, but because you're not making the same movie, people won't get tired of it.
No, if the next one comes out and it makes $30 million, all right, that's enough to do another one. And
$30 million domestically, yeah.
Yeah, and try to correct and maybe, you know, once you get to 6 or 7, throw The Rock in there and then go from there. But I just feel like The Purge is the idea, and that's the character. That's the main idea. I don't get why this anthology mentality has been picked up by TV now, where it doesn't fit as well. Like, it's working for the, you know, the shows that are doing it. It's doing it well. I just don't get why we can't take that idea to the movies, where it makes more sense, where Final Destination as separate entities, Purge, or anything like that. Bond essentially is the closest we have to an anthology movie, but even those have started, the Danny Craig one started to try to tie together. And I like the idea of just, hey, here's The Purge, let's just keep making them, even if it's every 2 years, every year. Like, when DeMonico gets bored with it, it doesn't matter. You have this world. He could do one every 2 years. You could have somebody else in the years in between. You built that world. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
The world is built fantastically. You buy into The Purge. As silly of an idea and as ridiculous as it sounds, you buy into it. They build that environment and that atmosphere to where I'm into that world.
You have to make a leap of faith, and you have to just kind of buy into, okay, this is a thing that could happen and in this world exists. But once you do, they're not really asking you to make any other leaps. Mm-mm. It's all like,
that's
okay.
It. You're on board or you're not.
Right. You're in this world now, so these are the things that might happen in it. And there's so many variables that could happen that, like you said, if DeMonico got to the point where, kind of like James Wan, who did the first couple Saws, and then he just walked away and it continued on without him. Okay, here's the world in which we live, where The Purge is legal in the United States. What else can go wrong? Okay, well, maybe eventually it goes to a different country. There are just so many things that you could do, so many different people that I think would have ideas that you could have a different director do one every year and do a true horror anthology, which, you know, we have seen in like Masters of Horror,
and it's
stuff like that. They don't all inhabit the same world.
I like anything that you can't just define. If you define The Purge or you define The Purge Anarchy as a science fiction, like, it has a sci-fi feel. Is it horror? You're not wrong to
IMDb
call it horror.
Says those things.
Action movie? Yeah, you're not wrong.
It's a thriller.
Yeah, it fits into any of those genres, and you're not wrong to consider any of them. Think of a small town. Like, if it's like a little farm village to where, how terrifying
everyone
is that?
Everyone knows everyone.
Yeah, and you're in the middle of nowhere. And then, okay, do the home invasion that way, then flee to town and see stuff like that. That would be interesting to me. Doesn't have to tie in. I don't need Sarge there, but
right. There's
so much you can do with it. And doesn't even have to be an action movie. Take something like The Gift, the Joel Edgerton movie. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a guy who's obsessed with this family, and just that The Purge is his chance to do what it takes to become part of that family. And it's a straight psychological thriller. It's a cool idea.
Yeah, like Stalking. There are so many movies.
And that's the thing, is murder, you're 100% right. Like, there's so much more you can do than murder. there's so many things you could do, and some of them are even more frightening than murder.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could have, goodness knows, you could have kidnapping. And I feel like as Sarge is driving through the street, or as they're running through the street, you see different people. Like, there's that one lady that's up on the bridge just like shouting off and shooting her gun. Like, all these people that you run across have stories of why they're purging, like if they're trying to make some kind of statement, or if they're just completely off their rocker and want to kill somebody, they're gun nuts, they need money, whatever it is. There's all these stories that are sort of happening, and you kind of see them through a window, and they try. They do go into several different things. I mean, they spend quite a bit of time on the kidnapping ransom part so that they can essentially be like the most dangerous game. There's a lot on the government hit squads that are running around.
The family, the girl shooting the one for sleeping with her husband. Like, yeah. The family dispute, the dad, the grandfather character, where that's how he's providing for his daughter and his granddaughter, is he's offering himself up for $100,000.
He was going to die anyway. So those things are all incredibly interesting. And I feel like they're going on. Like, we just need to see some of it. I'd love to see a Prison Break movie set during the Purge. And these are all things that, again, is the Purge a horror movie? I mean, not really. So it's not like you.
Can be.
It could be. But it's not like you have to have a masked serial killer in all of these, or, you know, a monster. You can have a super violent Prison Break movie. Yeah. It can be, you know, gritty and visceral like that. Being sort of genreless lends it to so much possibility, but it almost seems like he's trying to back himself into a genre.
And that's what I mean. Like, with the way the story's progressing, it feels like he's writing himself into a corner to where you have this idea that's limitless, and you're just trying to put it into a fishbowl.
Because realistically, what happens in this? If you think about it, we haven't seen it. Either this woman gets killed, the status quo goes on, or she wins, and she's going to eliminate the Purge.
Yeah.
To me, that is painting yourself into a corner.
Yeah.
Maybe he's already got something planned for, maybe a different country does it, or it's just a backwater, a secession where the South decides that they want to... No, that's not fair. The North decides they want to continue to purge. I don't know. Maybe he's got another plan going forward, but it seems like you're really paring down your possibilities, almost trying to purge the one unique thing you have going for you.
There's so many ways you can go with it. I don't want him to paint himself into a corner, because it's the kind of thing that I'm not going to rush out to the movies to see him. But if you put out more movies like The Purge Anarchy, like, I'll see them when they're on either on demand or come to Netflix or something. Like, I'll watch them. I do have my doubts about election year, because I don't want it to just put an end to everything that I feel like this franchise could be.
I'm kind of afraid that this one, not that the second one was a cash grab, it was sort of inevitable. They had to make it to make more money, because movies are a business, regardless of, you know, what folks that have a podcast like us might say. Movies are made not to entertain us or to give us things to talk about. It's to make people money. And The Purge certainly is doing that. But this one seems like it was 2013, 2014. Could we have had this last year? Yes. Wasn't it an election year? No. So could you really capitalize on, I think, kind of the fear that people have already, like, what's going to happen with this election? We could actually end up much less safe than we are now. So you put out this movie where it's like, hey, as bad as you think your government is now or could be in a couple months, this is as bad as it could be. And maybe we're on the way there. I don't know. But you see the end of these recent Purge trailers. It's real quick. You kind of got to pause it, because I did. There's a card that says, keep America great.
Oh, yeah.
That's not an accident.
No. The marketing for it's brilliant, because this movie's not out until this week. But during the Republican debates, some of the bigger ones, like as it was getting heated while there were still people in it, these would air. They look like regular political commercials. And they're airing these during the Republican debates, which I thought was brilliant.
Because we're not Republicans.
True. Like, but
I'm sure they didn't think it was as brilliant.
I thought it
what
was,
are you trying to say?
I thought it was great, just because it's at first, like, it comes off like it's just a campaign ad for somebody. And then you realize, like, oh, so I like the idea there.
And it makes sense that it's coming out this year. But if there is to be another Purge next year, like, what is the hook? I feel like they've married themselves so much to the political angle over the last two.
I mean, we could be projecting. Like, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't. But I think bringing Sarge back kind of gives me that feel. And taking the political angle that I feel like the team that came in at the end, like that protest group, I feel
Omar's crew.
Yeah, they're going to be a bigger part of this new one. And a movie following them. Like, it's not a bad idea. Like, there's so much you could do with the same idea, but...
just not with Sarge. We can follow them, but we don't need any more... Sarge doesn't need to join that political group after this lady gets assassinated.
Yeah.
Don't need to see that.
Or somebody that just damned the Purge, and once the Purge is over, when people start to breathe a sigh of relief and think it's done, then they just go nuts and they start going after people when they're not expecting it.
Yeah, like, the Purge is no longer sanctioned by the government, but people are still doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad movie. It's not a great movie. It's a movie.
It's better than the first one. I think it's one of the few examples where the sequel's actually better than the first one.
I almost feel like the first one was like a spec script. Like, that's how it feels, where it's like, this was just dipping his toes in the water to see if anybody can buy into this premise, and then he got to really do what he wanted. Because the first one, like I said, it's so confined. Mm-hmm. I would make probably a dozen Purge movies before I got to just one home invasion with the family and the boyfriend and stuff.
It felt like a sort of a good origin story for the Purge itself. You know, if that is the Michael Myers of this series, you got the origin story out of the way. And in the second one, you can go wherever you want. Because at that point, you kind of know the story with the, you know, some things that are happening, obviously, like the death squads roaming the streets, hunting people
down.
And,
like, that's the thing is, like, that's why I like the idea of it just being an anthology, because you don't need that setup. You don't need the origin story. Like, to watch Spider-Man 2 without watching Spider-Man 1, because you know the origin of Spider-Man. So I like the idea of just, hey, here's 7 Purge movies. Just watch them however you want, because they're not related.
And the premise itself is so simple. It's just like, well, anything can happen. So just get in that mindset where anything can and does happen this night. And then, you know, you have a limited storytelling movie where you've essentially taken off the brakes of reality to it. You can do whatever you want. I think that that's just such a rife ground. And frankly, I'm a little jealous that this guy had this idea. It's great. And you'd think that so many people could add to that if he's having problems either pigeonholing himself or doesn't necessarily want to keep doing Purge movies for the rest of his career.
Which I get.
Yeah, for sure.
But he could make paychecks from them for the rest of his
life. Yes,
he
could. Let somebody else make them next year. Just cash that fat royalty check.
You see the Purge Anarchy or whatever.
Election year. Vote with your dollar bills.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Like, I'm interested. I don't know that it'll do the $70 million that the first one did. I think it'll be...
$72 million is this one. Yeah. $64 million was.
I mean, I
do
think.
Do you want to play the old over under game?
End of the day, do you think this is over under 55?
I would say over.
I think so, but I don't. Would you say over under 72? Say 75 to keep it even.
I'd probably go over too.
See, I don't know that I would.
I think I'm going to go over based solely on the gimmick of being election year.
That's true. I don't think its ceiling is very far off. Like, I think 72 to, like, 80, 85 is probably the most you'll ever get out of one of these movies.
And if they made this movie for $20
million. Yeah. I don't think you'll ever see a Purge be a $100 million movie, but it doesn't need to be.
No.
So, I mean, if this comes out, even if it makes less than the first one, it's $62 million or $60 million, $58, $55 million. That's still enough to make a fourth one.
Yeah, you would think so, as long as we can get another idea out of DeMonico.
Yeah, hopefully he's got some. Listen to this, and we'll get you through 7 or 8 of them.
Yeah, and then we could get those fat royalty checks. Yeah.
But that's our Purge Anarchy episode. If you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out. If you checked out after the Purge, I'd suggest watching it because the idea is cool enough. It at least warrants a watch. Again, I'm not saying it's a great movie, but it warrants a watch. Check that out. Let us know your thoughts on it if you see the third one, or if you think we're way off base, or just if you have ideas for other Purge movies.
That's what I'd really be interested in. Like, send us your ideas. We'll send them to James DeMonico, and we'll get rich.
Let us know. MoviesOnUp@gmail.com, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, or the Twitter @MoviesOnUp. Next week, we have an awesome episode planned. Oh, we actually do, don't we?
We do,
next
yeah.
Next week is our halftime show.
You can tell when Dave really believes what he's saying.
No, next week's our halftime show. That's one of my favorite episodes of the year. It's kind of our first 6 months. Hey, here's what we think of movies so far this year. Here's what we're looking forward to the rest of the year. So I'm excited.
Purge Anarchy notwithstanding, because... Or Purge election year notwithstanding, because we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, so we'll be back next week with our favorite movies so far this year with our 2016 halftime show. But until then,
keep it up.